This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Rising cost of living and of food is affecting many people, especially non-governmental organizations, you know, especially those who are relying on public funding to help sustain their operations, to continue, you know, doing what they do to help those in need. So today we want to feature the voices of some of these organizations. And now on the show with me is Kavindran Ganesan, who is the co-founder and treasurer of the Lost Animal Souls Shelter. And we want to find out how, you know, they are coping as an animal shelter to continue ensuring that the welfare of the animals, you know, are still taken care of in the midst of quite challenging times. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kavin.
Thank you.
So, you know, for those of us who aren't familiar with LAST, tell me a little bit about the shelter and what you do.
All right. So LAST, which is a Lost Animal Soul Shelter, we were founded in 2013 and we are a no-kill animal shelter, which currently houses about 200 to 250 dogs. We do cat rescues as well, but we predominantly focus on dogs at this point in time. And our functions, there are quite a few things that we do actually. Mm-hmm. So apart from housing the dogs, we do rescues as well. Although in the light of pandemics, we have had to stop quite a bit because of rising costs and a lot of other things that we had to take into calculations here.
Mm. So tell me a bit about the cost aspect, right? What sort of cost do you incur in housing these dogs, in rescuing them? Because I think people sometimes don't realize how much money is actually needed in doing this.
Yes, that's very true. So the last time we did an actual sit-down costing, this was pre-pandemic. And to house our dogs plus the workers that we have, that we pay them salary, our utilities, our rent and everything, it comes down to about 15,000 ringgit a month.
Wow.
And this also includes food, because at LAST, we believe that we don't only want to feed the dogs once a day. I think some people, they are okay with just feeding in the morning. I think we use the approach whereby we can't survive one meal a day, so we don't want our dogs to go through the same. So because of all of this, the 15K covers everything except medical.
Mm-hmm.
And medical tends to be one of the biggest contributors to costs for us. Only because if anyone has like picked up a dog off the streets, if they know the process of sending it to the vet, getting a clean bill of health, the boarding and this and that before coming, that can easily come up to 1,000 here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, we couldn't put it into our fixed costs. But yeah, those are the main things that contributes to our monthly.
And if the animal is injured or has existing health issues, that would further add up the bill long term as well, right?
Yeah, and I think that also comes down to our mandate, because at LAST, one thing we had a long discussion when we first founded the shelter with all our... So when we first started, it was 7 of us who were all committee members, and we wanted to stress out what our SOPs were.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was very important to us is to be a no-kill shelter. And being a no-kill shelter, you assume a lot more responsibility, only because like you mentioned earlier, if there's any injuries, any dogs with previous conditions that we have to work with, all of that can be very costly. One very simple example we use is there was a dog we rescued who was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost of, we actually sent the dog for acupuncture. There's a specialist who does that. There's another specialist who has like a wheelchair for dogs. So all of that, cost-wise, it came up to quite a bit. And that is a special case, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, being a no-kill shelter, there's a lot of additional costs in terms of health and things, because it's a 10-year commitment usually.
Hmm. So how has, you know, let's talk about COVID first, right? How has the pandemic affected your funding and your operations?
So I think the way we see the pandemic's effect, there's, I think, two major effects.
Mm-hmm.
There's the direct effect and there's the trickle-down effect. So the direct effect here is simply put, the cost of, if you look at funding, a lot of our costs have went up simply because the vendors have raised their prices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in our control for this. So before the pandemic, we had a particular vendor who was selling us dog food at a certain rate. So our supporters, if they're interested, because some people don't want to give money directly, they want to buy the food and deliver it over, that's completely fine. And then another place would be like a vet that we also utilize. Only recently, the cost went up by like 30% in terms of the dog food. And for us, that took a big hit because from X amount of bags, now you've gone down to the total amount of bags you can buy. So there's all of that. And then the trickle-down cost is honestly the fact that a lot of people are being affected financially.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are being affected financially, I guess what we have realized in our experience is when it comes to giving to the animals, it's always a low down on the things that people need to do. And we completely understand because, of course, focus on yourself first. Make sure you are stable before you can give to others. Now, when the pandemic hit, people had to start cutting costs. And the things that they generally get affected is charity, which we understand because, like I said earlier. So, yeah, that's one thing. Like, you could see there's a notable drop in donations over the past two and a half years. And it's also inverse how the number of donations have gone down, mm-hmm. but the number of calls have gone up.
Calls for you to intervene with animals. Oh, all right.
All right. Because I think it comes down to visibility as well. During the pandemic, especially when we were all under lockdown, a lot of places, there was no human beings walking around. So the animals in the area started coming out more.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people went back to as close to normal as possible, the dogs are not aware of this because some of the dogs may have been born during the pandemic time, mm-hmm. the MCO time. So they are just roaming the streets in the area because as far as they know, for their whole lifetime, that has been the norm. So doesn't people see a dog there and they say, can you come and pick the dog? And then it's, for us, we have to manage that. But with the rise of costs, it's been more difficult to do that, especially.
Mm. So tell me a bit more about that rise in cost, right? Because for humans, you know, we all have been talking about the rise in food prices, you know, the shortage of chicken, things like that. But how has it affected the food costs for your dogs as well?
So I think this sort of comes down to what we feed the dogs, essentially. So if you want to nail it down to the food specifically,
mm-hmm.
when we feed our dogs, there's two different types of meals we do. We either do rice
mm-hmm.
mixed with some meat and some vegetables, or we do kibbles.
Mm-hmm.
So like I mentioned earlier, kibbles, because of the vendor markup in prices, we have been forced to follow that. So that has taken a big hit. In terms of the rice and meat also, I think meat shortage has also affected us because getting cheap stock is quite difficult at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I think stock is still there, but getting cheap stock, because we are going for quantity, not quality. It's the fact of life of running a shelter whereby not every dog can be fed like, you know, the a proper son. So we have like the person, the vendor for us, we get like not to say the scraps, but we get the stuff that is not sold. So things like that, even now the stock is going down. And also there's an influx of, like I said earlier, because there's more cases, there are more rescuers prevalent now. And those rescuers also need all these items.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I guess it's a supply-demand thing. The supply has gone down, the demand has gone up. So that's where we are kind of suffering a bit.
Mm. Are you concerned that this will impact the welfare of the dogs? How is Lass planning ahead to ensure that, you know, you can manage all these rise in costs or possible, you know, low supply of stock? What are you planning for?
So I think the benefit of the way we run our shelters, we are very forward thinking in that we don't only plan the finances month to month. We usually give like a space so that we are comfortable that we don't have to scrounge for money the next month moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have our reserves as of now, but it's always depleting. There are certain portions where own money has to be put in and that we can't run away from that. When it comes to looking forward, I guess improvement is hoped for, but we can't really bank on it. Our side, we are always looking to run more fundraisers. Previously, we used to run a lot. The kind of events we used to run would be fundraisers / adoption drives.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have been trying to run it virtually online. So we had like a few colleges who asked us to come and speak for their, like what we do on Zoom kind of webinars and whatnot. All of this is good for sharing of information, but sadly from the fun side of things, it's a bit difficult to raise. So I think moving forward, especially now, it's very hard for us to plan this specifically because one moment cases are up, so mm-hmm. we can't go out. Then the next moment, it seems to be manageable. We are planning an event and suddenly there's another spike. So it's very hard to manage. So in moving forward, we are looking at planning for more events and fundraisers. We are always trying to tap our current sponsors and donators to give more. But it's a very tricky thing there because if you tap them too much, mm-hmm. then it kind of, there's friction and they feel like, that's that feeling. So from our end, it's that's basically what our approach is now.
Hmm. regardless of how things go, right, whether things improve or things go south a bit, what is your priority in ensuring that you continue to provide for the dogs?
At the end of the day, as a shelter, the priorities are the dogs. So it is, there's two parts here, I guess, is maintaining as close to a lifestyle as we had pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Because we understand sacrifices will have to be made in certain aspects, but we don't want it to be to a point where, you know, the dogs are living a quality of life that is, you know, pointless.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, it's maintaining that is one of the things that we are aiming for. And I guess the other thing that we're aiming for is still spreading of knowledge, because even with or without the pandemic going on, sharing of information is very important. Because I think the fact that we are housing 250 is a very stopgap measure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people will tell us this, you only can save 250 at the moment. What happens to the other dog on the street, the other dog on the street? So from our end, when we are sharing more information and we are spreading the knowledge across, hopefully people learning this and being able to help out more, doesn't necessarily have to be monetary in even acts, services. By them doing that, if we can reduce the number of strays as a whole, then the challenges by proxy will just start dropping.
Hmm. So let's talk about the dogs, right? You say you're housing 250, but you are also, and you have run adoption drives before. What are the challenges in getting the dogs adopted out? Because I'm sure that would help you in terms of costs.
Yes.
But, you know, what are the hurdles there?
So I think, I would preface this by saying different people have different experiences when it comes to adoption. This is purely in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
What we've realized is in the numerous adoption drives that we've run, generally speaking, I think 99% of our adoption cases are puppies. So that is going to be the highest chance of them getting adopted. Now, even recently, we had a first physical adoption drive where we had many puppies and about 5 or 6 of them got adopted. Sadly, a few were returned. And once they were returned, they got out of the puppy phase. So, you know, the snout got a bit longer, the tail got a bit longer, everything was elongated. And in our experience, once they hit about 9 months, it's going to be very difficult for them to get adopted. So I think one thing in terms of adoption, a big challenge we have is mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the animal welfare community, there's the very strong saying of adopt, don't shop. And like for our end, we always say that, but that comes down to human preference. If somebody wants a fancy breed, and if you look at the shelter, I think we don't have any fancy breeds in shelter. So it's all local dogs. At the moment we put up, like once we rescued a schnauzer off the street, the moment we posted that on our Facebook page, there were like 20 calls. You know, mm-hmm. I want the dog. So it's a mindset thing. It's more, don't look only at the dog's exterior, because we have had many dogs whereby insides, they are much better. I don't say much better, but they've proved to be more loving only because I think there's appreciation, because you have given them a life they wouldn't have had a chance to lead another way.
Hmm. For a lot of animals, you know, dogs and cats alike, it's always the older they get, or if they have health issues, or if they have, you know, disabilities, the harder it is for them to get adopted out. And then sort of the chances just keep depleting as the weeks go by.
Yep. On that, I think one thing that there is an exception to what you're saying is possibly disabilities, because mm-hmm. we have had cases whereby dogs with disabilities, some people have, out of the kindness of their hearts, thought, okay, this dog is in living challenging situation.
Mm-hmm.
We will take it in and we will give it a better life, because some dogs can prosper in the shelter,
mm-hmm.
some can't. So we had a dog quite a while ago whereby the back legs, it was born... there was a issue with the back legs where he could only use the front leg. Someone saw that case and they said, never mind, I'll take this dog. So when it comes to disabilities, there is actually a higher chance of them getting adopted only because I guess there's a bit of a pull there. It pulls on your heartstrings a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And, you know, but On a similar note as well, right? I guess on the flip side of adoption is the topic of abandonment. Now, that was quite a widely spoken about thing early on in the pandemic when a lot of people were struggling with finances then. But now, you know, two plus years later, we are seeing sort of a different issue, not exactly because of COVID, but because of the rising cost that comes with having a pet. Are you seeing rising cases of abandonment, or is that something that you're worried about?
I think the answer to this lies from which perspective you're looking at. From the animal welfare community, yes, there was a spike in dumping cases, but dumping cases have always been there. I think the thing about the general public at this point in time is it became more publicized only because people were sitting at home, they could see it more. So it, I think the things like social media, media in general, the fact that you can hear more cases about it, it sounds like there was more abandonments than there are. Abandonments here, you could see there are different types. There are people who find a dog in a certain area and dump it in another place. Then there's people who... We don't see cases where someone has puppies and dumps their dog's puppies as much. Because if it's their own dog, they generally don't dump their own puppies. Again, this is just... there are exceptions to this, obviously. But like in the shelter specifically, what we see is mainly people will pick up a stray from one area and then put drop it at the shelter. This is why we don't give people our actual location, because we have had many cases whereby people have dumped their... So I'll say this, not their dogs, but they have dumped dogs. Now, people dumping their dogs is... It happens. It's not very common. I guess because there is a connection. We have had cases where people will call. So what they do is they don't dump in a sense of they will just drop it somewhere. They'll contact us and tell us, can you please take my dog? Now, the issue with that is usually these dogs would have been with them for like 6, 7, 8 years. These dogs have gotten used to a certain house lifestyle. So these dogs do not transition to the shelter well, which is why we do not accept this. We have had a case, and we learned this the hard way when we first started. There was a dog where this person said, take my dog or I have to put it down. So when we're given an ultimatum like this, we really had no choice. We had to break our rule and say, okay, fine, we'll take it. That dog was in the shelter for a couple of months. He refused to eat. It was emo the whole time, and then he passed away. Now, the doctor said it was possibly because of depression. So when it comes to abandonment cases, if people were aware things like this would happen, hopefully they are less likely to do so.
It's not just such a simple matter of you abandoning the dog, right? There's so much trauma that could be left on the animal.
Correct. It's not like some people move out from their apartment. They say, I got a spare couch. Do you want to take my couch? It's not that. It's a life whereby... The example we always use, and the thing about the animal community, we tend... A lot of people in the animal community tend to be a bit too straightforward sometimes. So the example they always say is, it's like a family member. If you were moving out and your sister, your mother, your father, would you just give them away because you're moving to a different place or you cannot afford anymore, so you stop them? So that is the example we use. I know it's a bit harsh to say that way, but if you're too nice, people don't get the realization. So that's why we get a bit blunt in that.
So to wrap up then, you know, what sort of help or aid does LAS need at the moment, and how can people reach out to you?
So in terms of help, one thing we'll always need is donations. Now, donations here, monetary is good. Alternatively, if you wish to send food, send items over, we can always give the contact information of the president and then we can work from there. Another thing would be possibly to go to our Facebook page and check some of the activities we run there. So there'll be a Lost Animal Souls Shelter. And I guess support is going to be very important. Now we've opened the doors back to people coming and visiting the shelter. So we're also always looking for people to come in, do some volunteer work. This ranges from cleaning to, you know, even playing with the dogs, we count as volunteer work because some dogs really need human interaction. Some don't. Some are like, people come, it's a hindrance to their way of life. But for some, they really enjoy it. But I guess everything leads back to financial contributions, because at the end of the day, we have a certain amount of cost that we need to hit. And I think at the start of this this conversation, we already mentioned, we already discussed the fact that costs have risen, responsibilities have gone up. So it's donations to alleviate that issue would be right now the most important thing for us.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kevin.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Kavindran Ganesan, co-founder and treasurer of Lost Animal Souls Shelter. And as Kevin mentioned, you can look them up on Facebook at Lost Animal Souls Shelter. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can download our podcasts on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suen, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.